In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. And grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal with signs and wonders performed through the name of your holy slave, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place which they were gathered in together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And the place where they stood shook, and they were filled with the boldness of Jesus Christ. Now, the whole thing is that God promised through Jesus that the apostles would do the same things that he did, and even greater. He promises us the same things that he did, and even greater. But you see, who will step out in faith to do these things? Who will step out in faith to see the sick healed? I'm not talking about not going to doctors. Of course you go to the best doctors you have. But don't stop with doctors. God has a plan for you to heal you. Yes, to heal you, because he is in love with you. It's more than God loves us. He is in love with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm looking at the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. He kept back some of the proceeds and brought only part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But you see, he didn't have to do any of this. He could have kept it all for himself. But he lied. He said to the apostles, you're getting the full amount of what I sold. He lied to the Holy Spirit. Ananias, Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of your land? While it was yours unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? See, he lied. He lied to the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, we've given it all. They didn't have to give one penny, but they lied. How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? In your heart, in your heart. You did not lie to us, but to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard. The young men came and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of time, about 3 hours, his wife Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Peter said to her, tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such amount. She said, yes, and that was the price. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to put the Holy Spirit to the Lord to test? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. They've lied to the Holy Spirit. Again, they did not have to give one penny to the apostles. But they said, let's say they sold it for $1,000 and they kept 500 for themselves. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They said, we gave it all to you. Immediately she fell down at the feet and died. When the young men came, they found her dead. So they carried her out and buried her beside her husband, and great fear seized over the whole church and all who heard these things. First of all, lying is not good, because the devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He'll come to you with half-truths, and he'll say things, "Did God tell you this?" I tell you, you don't want to listen to the lies of the devil, and you don't want to give in to lying. Lying is not of God. It is the God of this world, the devil himself, who is the supreme liar. The 12th verse of the 5th chapter. How now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles. Again, Jesus promised that they would do the same things that he did and greater still. And these signs and wonders were done to the people through the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. Jesus used to go there and teach. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Why? Because they were preaching the word of God, and they were preaching the kingdom of God, and showed that the kingdom of God had power to heal the sick. Do you know that? That the kingdom of God has power to heal the sick. Yes, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord in great numbers of both men and women. So they even carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order for Peter's shadow to fall on any of them that came by. I tell you, I went by those streets. They are so narrow. So narrow. I don't know how, where they put the mats. I don't know where they put the sick. Peter had to jump over them because they were so narrow. But you see, they all want healing. They all follow Jesus for healing and hearing the word of God. Now they're doing it to the apostles. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. His apostles are doing the things that Jesus did. But do you know that we can do the things that Jesus did? Because the power has not stopped. The power is completely given to us who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a man that we prayed with in Louisiana. This man was crippled. He could not walk. But we prayed with him anyway. And you know what? Nothing happened. But about a month later, he got out of his wheelchair and began to walk. I couldn't even believe it, because he was so crippled. And yet God did it. He answered the prayer a month later. A month later. And this is amazing. This is amazing. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by evil spirits, and they were all cured. Again, what Jesus did, the apostles did. What the apostles did, we are called to do one at a time. I'm going to tell you, this healing stuff is going to get the apostles in trouble. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see. And the apostles are proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus, being filled with jealousy. Oh, yes. The same jealousy that filled them with Jesus now fills them with jealousy toward the apostles. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." The whole message. Salvation. Healing. Deliverance. The Eucharist, the Word of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, the whole message. Go tell them the whole message. I tell you, so many people will not tell people the whole message. I remember being under a tent, and the Lord told me to tell the whole message. And I said, you know, the Word of God is evangelical. We must proclaim the word of God and make disciples. And hey, everybody just clapped for me. And I said, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's Pentecostal. God has given the church this wonderful experience of Pentecost, and they all loved me. I said, but then there's the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. They wanted to throw me out of the tent. They wanted to throw me out of the tent. And I tell you, I preached the whole message that night, the full gospel that night. And you know what? It was not received because they had in mind their own gospel. Oh, yes, they liked the evangelical experience. I do, too. They liked the Pentecostal experience. I do, too. But they did not want anything to do with the sacramental experience. When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak. The prison doors were open, and they go into the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. And what do you think they're teaching? The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus and the power to heal. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of elders of Israel and sent to prison to have them brought in. But they're not there. An angel of the Lord opened the doors. Do you believe in angels? Only in the ones that serve Jesus Christ. I do not believe in angels that people proclaim. Only the ones that serve Jesus Christ. They are sent to us to help us on the way to salvation. The last verse of Hebrews 1. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in prison. They left. They're in Solomon's portico again. They're preaching the word of God. They're healing the sick. So they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. They walked right by the guards. They must have had a heavy sleep. Oh, yes. The angel of the Lord opened the doors. And they went into the Solomon's portico probably to preach again. Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them. Oh, they're perplexed. How could they go through the door that was locked? And how could they be in Solomon's portico preaching and healing the people? How could it be? Well, they didn't know that an angel of the Lord came in and did this experience for them. Then someone arrived and announced, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Teaching the people about what? Teaching the people about Jesus. All about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, you know? We have a faith that is Christocentric. Jesus is the center of our faith. But the Holy Spirit always leads to Jesus. He makes Jesus our contemporary. Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Why? Because the people were being healed. They were afraid they're going to be stoned by the people. They were there, and they say, you know, we have to watch out. We cannot arrest these people because we'll get stoned by the people who have been healed. I remember when I was in Arizona, and I had seen the blind see and the deaf hear, and God opened eyes and ears and so many other things. There was a young man there who at the end was saying to me, do you have virtue? What you did is nothing. Do you have virtue? One guy wanted to punch him in the nose. I said, no, no, no. We are here in peace. We are not here to hurt anybody. That would be the devil's work. Oh, yes. That would be the devil's work. When they had brought them in, they came and had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. What name? The name of Jesus. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. Well, the blood of Jesus is on the whole world. We crucified him by our sins. all of us, not only the Sadducees, but me and you. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man and human authority. I tell you, there comes a time that, you know, you can say to the human authority, I cannot go along with this because God told me to heal the sick. Human authority might say, you have no power to do that. God told me to do it, and I'm doing it, and I'm preaching the word of God. People have thought, you know, Father Tom has a nerve being on radio. He doesn't have a doctorate. You know what they said about the apostles? They were ordinary men. There was nothing ordinary about John and Peter. Nothing ordinary. There was something extraordinary. It was the Holy Spirit. We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree, Isaiah 53. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It all starts with the Jews, that salvation is for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. And we are witnesses to these things. We witnessed Jesus' resurrection. He came into the room, upper room, and he breathed on us and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. And then he said, peace, shalom, peace be with you, peace be with you. I tell you, that same Jesus wants to say shalom to you. Peace be with you. You have nothing to be afraid of. Oh yes, we're expecting another storm, but peace be with you. I am in control, the Lord says. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. As it says in the Bible 365 times, fear not. Why? Because I am with you. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. You see, the Holy Spirit did these acts of mercy. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit makes bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit forgives our sins by making the blood of Jesus available to us in confession. Oh yeah, it's all about the Holy Spirit, but it's all about Christ. The Holy Spirit is now in ordinary time. I told you there's nothing ordinary about ordinary time. We are in the time of Pentecost until the Lord Jesus Christ comes in glory to judge the living and the dead. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Do you obey the Lord? Do I obey the Lord in little things? Today I wanted to do a healing service, but I felt checked in my mind. I don't want you to do this today. And I didn't do it. Because I don't want to do things that the Lord doesn't want me to do. I want to do things that the Lord calls me to do. I want to be like Barnabas. I want to be an encourager to people. I want to encourage you to believe. I want to encourage you to believe that God has a plan for you. I want to encourage you to believe that he wants to heal you through the doctors, yes, but more to through prayer and the doctors. I want to encourage you today that you are not God's hopeless case. The devil has lied to you and called you God's hopeless case. You are not God's hopeless case. God has given to those who obey him the Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. They were enraged. They were jealous. They were hateful. They wanted to kill the apostles. But the Pharisees in the council, named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and with a number of men, about 400 of them, and they joined him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. In other words, there had been other false messiahs, and they, when they died, the followers were dispersed. But there's only one true Messiah. His name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. This is wisdom. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. I remember Saul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. I've often wondered if he went back to Gamaliel and told him about Jesus. I've often wondered about Paul going back to Gamaliel and telling him about Jesus. I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. But I do wonder about that, because Paul was taught at the feet of the great teacher Gamaliel. And why wouldn't he go back to Gamaliel and speak the words of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know if he did, but I believe maybe he did. That's my belief. It's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture doesn't tell us that. They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged, and then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name, for the sake of Jesus. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. What have we learned today? We learned that God and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've learned that what God did through Christ on the earth, he did to the apostles as they taught the people and as they prayed with the people to be healed. I don't think they prayed. I think they declared to the man that was crippled, "Silver and gold we have not, but what we have in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." They didn't pray. They declared healing. They declared healing. I'm telling you, we need to declare healing over our own bodies, so that God would know that we have the faith to be healed. What else have we learned today? Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. All that they had belonged to them, but they said to the apostles, "We gave it all," and they lied to the Holy Spirit and were killed. What else did we learn today? That many signs and wonders were done to the people through the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord in great numbers, both men and women. That they would carry the sick into the streets and on cots and mats, that even the shadow of Peter might just touch them, and that they would be healed. I'm telling you, they had faith, because they saw that Peter and John did a great miracle to the man that was in the beautiful gate. Let's continue. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within the apostles and dwells within us who believe and have been baptized. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us to do awesome things. But we must use faith in declaring that God is doing these things. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Go to inseason.net, go to PayPal, and leave a donation by the grace of God. All right, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you believe it? It's true. It's true anyway. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.